Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. This is a good day that the Lord has made. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be alive and living in it. I'm sorry if I'm sending you guys more than one invite. I'm still kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Okie dokie. All righty. Today is another good day. Father, we just thank you for being in the midst of us. We thank you for being amongst us. Lord God, we thank you that you created us to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see whatever it is your instructions are for us again today, this day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know about you, but like always, I'm just glad to be alive. I'm smiling because God remembered to breathe through me again today. He woke me up again today, this day, on purpose, for a purpose, and with his good purpose in mind. I just want you all to know that God has a good plan and a good purpose for your life again today, this day. When we fulfill his purpose for our lives for today, then we have fulfilled his good plan and purpose for our lives this day, okay? God is a God of purpose, and my prayer is, Father, that you lead, guide, and you direct us in the way that you would have us to go, in the way that you want us to go. We believe, Father, that our footsteps are ordered by you. We thank you that your favor is upon us, that your goodness and mercy is following us again today, this day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Okay? You guys, we're getting ready to Rhema read. Rhema, good morning, my beautiful Letha. Oh, that's my sister. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Why isn't it more light in here? Okay, we'll see if we can bring some more light in here. All righty, we're getting ready to, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what the Lord is saying. I'm live on my Facebook Live and my podcast, Arthur Pearlie Martin, Biblical Principles for Inner Healing. Let's see. Why don't I take these things off? Let's see what the Lord is saying. I'm nosy. What are you saying, Lord? What are you saying? Good morning, Letha. Another good day to be excited that we are in the land of the living. I'm so excited. Okay, Lord, let's see. What do you have for us today? What are you saying, Lord? He's talking about division in the church. This is what he's talking about today, division in the church. Let's see. He said, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. That can't be all there is. Okay, let me see. In other words, chapter 1, verse 10. Hold on. Let's get this straight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, New Living Translation. Here we go. Lessons from Israel's idolatry. Again, the Apostle Paul's talking to the Corinth church about idolatry worship and about sexual immorality and a few other things. Here we go, 1 Corinthians 10, 1. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud. Did we read this yesterday? This happened yesterday, guys. I'm so sorry. This is why I need, Lord, help me, Lord Jesus. You guys know what? We're on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's where we at, not 10. We read 10 yesterday. We're on 1 Corinthians. I done slept since yesterday. We had an awesome time yesterday in the Lord at church. Did you guys have an awesome time? It's good to fellowship. Verse 11. Okay, here we are. We back on track. He said, I'm so glad that you always keep me in your thoughts and that you are following the teachings I passed on to you. But there is one thing I want you to know. He says, I'm excited too. He said, there's one thing I want to know. The head of every man is Christ. Okay, this is going to be good. He said, the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. He's talking about order here, you guys. A man dishonors his head if he covers his head while praying or prophesying, but a woman dishonors her head if she prays or prophesies without a covering on her head. For this is the same as shaving her head. Yes, if she refuses to wear a head covering, she should cut off all her hair. But since it is shameful for a woman to have her hair cut or hair shaved, she should wear a covering. This is some of the Old Testament stuff. He said, a man should not wear anything on his head when worshiping. A man is made in God's image and reflects God's glory. And women reflect man's glory. For the first man didn't come from woman, but the first woman came from man. And the man was not made for woman, but the woman was made for man. For this reason, and because the angels are watching, a woman should wear a covering on her head to show she is under authority. Now, Christ is our covering, right? This is kind of like some of the Old Testament stuff. But among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women. For although the first woman came from man, every other man was born from a woman, right? And everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it right for a woman to pray to God in public without covering her head? Isn't it obvious that it's a disgraceful for a man to have long hair? And isn't long hair a woman's pride and joy? For it has been given to her as a covering. But if anyone wants to argue about this, he's just talking to them about some of their laws and some of their traditions. This is not so for today, right? We have to be able to distinguish what's for then and what's for now. But if anyone wants to argue about this, he's contending with them. He said, well, if you want to argue about this, I simply say that we have no other customs than this, and neither do God's other churches. He's talking about the traditions. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear he's talking to them about protocol and stuff like this in the church. But we know that was Old Testament, so it's not a sin to cut your hair, okay? He said, first, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. He's disciplining them right now. He's kind of rebuking them. He said, but of course, there must be division among you so that you have God's approval will be recognized. Verse 20, when you meet together, this is how he's trying to set some order in the church. He said, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. He said, you're not even interested in the Lord's Supper. He said, for some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? He's talking to the Corinth church. What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. He's talking to the Corinth church, the Apostle Paul. For I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it. He's talking about the communion that we take, right? Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for me. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Good morning, Desi. I'm Rhema Wording reading 1 Corinthians 10, 11. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So verse 27. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup, the Lord's unworthy, is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating and drinking the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are sick and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we should not be condemned along with the world. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined. He said, when we're being judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined. You know, the word of the Lord says that God chastised those that he loved. Is that not right? Because without correction, we do open ourselves up to that spirit of deception. 31. So my dear brothers and sisters, I'm almost finished with this. We're going to go on to 12. He said, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home, so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the matter as I arrive. He's talking about taking the Lord's Supper. Let's go to verse 11. That was 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to go to 11. 11. Let's see. Let's go to 12. And he's talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about how we're one body, but many members in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 1, he says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your questions about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, when we were sinners, we didn't have a relationship with Christ, you were led astray and swept along and worshiping speechless idols." They used to worship idols, and so did we, because I always say anything that takes the place of God became our God. And I don't know, when I didn't know God, I didn't worship God. When I didn't know God, I didn't acknowledge God because I didn't know God. So whatever took the place of God in my life was my God because I didn't know God, right? So we too was worshiping speechless idols, whether it was the job, whether it was a spouse, whether it was the children, whether it was ourselves. When we didn't know God, we could not worship God. When we didn't know God, we didn't know God to acknowledge God. And I am so grateful and thankful that he waited for me, that he gave his life as a living sacrifice so I could live his life. Verse 3, so I want you to know that no one was speaking by the Spirit of God. I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We were talking about this yesterday, me and my grandkids. Because we were talking about how can you distinguish a false religion from a true religion. And so they were talking about different beliefs. And you know, any religion that don't want to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the only way, that Jesus Christ is the only truth, that is a false religion. You can't say, well, yeah, he was just a good man. Well, yeah, he was just a prophet. Oh, we believe in Jesus, some of them say. We believe in Jesus. Well, okay, so what is it you believe about Jesus? We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We got to believe in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemptive power. He is the only way. I openly confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only way. He is the only truth, and he is the only life. No man can come unto the Father except we come through the Son. Jesus Christ is the only way back to the Father. The word of the Lord is, I don't know about you, but it's my absolute truth. I read it, I believe it, and then it's time to act on it, right? The word of God has got to be our absolute truth. We cannot pick and choose what we want to do. When God's word is our absolute truth, his word is our command. Verse 4, he said, there's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord, right? God works in different ways. But it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, right? To another, the same Spirit, which is the word of wisdom, to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge, word of knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, the gift of faith. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And we definitely have to exercise our ability to discern, to distinguish if it's the Holy Spirit, if it's the right spirit, because I don't know, I can tell right away if it's the flesh or if it's the Holy Spirit. Is it the Spirit of the living God? God never speaks outside of his word. He's not going to tell you to do something that's contrary to who he is or how he is. Because we know that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. We talked about that. We said, look, when our motive is God, our motive is good, right? When our motive is God, our motive is good. He said he gives one person the power to perform miracles, another ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern a message from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown tongues, language, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. The Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts. The gifts are the Holy Spirit causes the gifts to be manifested in our lives. He also decides which gift each person should have. Verse 12, the human body has many parts, right? So we think about our natural human body, our physical body, but the many parts make up one whole body, right? We see that my arms, everything's connected. Everything is making up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. And so this is why I say, you know what? Every joint and every ligament that supplies a need. So this is why it's so important for us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, because we're only one part of the body. I might just be the thumb, right? Can the thumb survive without the rest of the body? If I disconnect my thumb, it's going to dry up and die. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to isolate us. Right? He wants to isolate us. He wants to separate us. And some people say, well, you don't have to go to church. We're the church. Yes, we are the church. But here he's talking about us. Don't forsake the assembly. He's talking about the body as a whole. And now maybe you don't see the need for the body, but the body has a need for you, right? Because every joint and ligament, it supplies a need. So remember, you're just part of the body. I'm just part of the body. I'm not the whole body. So that means you have something that I need, and I probably have something that you need, because every joint and ligament supplies a need. So when you think about the body, just think about your natural body. Which part of the body would you not want to have? I want my fingernails. I want the hair in my ears. If there is no significant part of the body, everything that God creates, he creates on purpose, for a purpose, and with his good purpose in mind, because it serves a God purpose. This is why God put it there on purpose. Thank you, Lord. He said, but some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit if we have accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, right? Verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts. My physical body has many different parts. Our physical body has many different parts, not just one part, right? It's not just made up of my thumb. This is why people say, I don't do people. This is the devil likes that. He wants us to isolate and separate. Proverbs say, a man left to himself is full of his own ways, because a man that's left to himself, he don't know any other way. And he think that his way is the only way. We have to have a heart of humility so we can be open to correction. We can be open. It's easy. You know, it's easy for the exhortation and the edification and the confirmation, but we have to have a heart that's tender towards God to say, you know what? I could just be wrong, because I don't know it all. But a man left to himself is full of his own ways. It's so important to fellowship, because the word of the Lord says that iron sharpens iron. Who's sharpening your iron, and who iron are you sharpening, right? Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, verse 15, if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? It's not. You know what? Contentment with godliness is great gain. We're not trying to be like anyone else. We're not comparing ourselves unto ourselves, because that's not wise. Because God created us on purpose, for a purpose, the way he wants to use us. So contentment with godliness is great gain. Embrace the gifts and the callings that God has placed inside of you. Because the truth of the matter is, we cannot wear another man's armor. We cannot wear another man's anointing. David could not fit Saul's armor. It did not fit. It had not been tried. That's not what God put on him. All righty. So if I'm a thumb, I'm going to be best operating at picking up stuff, helping people. You know, I'm part of the hand family, but we're all connected to the body. Our natural physical body right now, if I wanted to pick up something, it's different members of my body all working together. My fingers, my thumbs, my joints, my ligament, my hand, my wrist, my arm, my brain, everything is working together to accomplish this one goal. In the end, it doesn't matter which part of the body we are, what we're called to do. The end result, the end goal is always God, to lead people to Jesus Christ. That's the end goal. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, as ministers or reconciliators, we're called to reconcile people back unto the Father, right? He says, and if the eye says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body was an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? But our body has many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part? That would be a weird body. Verse 20. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And we can't say, I don't need the body. We can't say, I don't need other members. We can't say that. I don't need to go to church. We're the church, don't get it wrong, but I don't need to fellowship with other people. We can't say, I don't do people. Because that's deception, because Christ does people. Jesus Christ is the greatest customer service rep in the world. God is all about people. When Jesus came, he came to die for people. He came to die for people. He can't, listen, some people quit going to the building because of church hurt or whatever they want to call it. Well, I don't go there. I don't go to church because pastors are like this. But listen, truth of the matter is you haven't been to every church. Those are stronghold mindsets. Because what has happened, we've taken our limited experience of one person, and it's really profiling. And now we say all pastors are like this, or all churches are like this. The devil is a liar. So when you go to Walmart and you have a bad experience with one cashier, did you quit going to that Walmart? No, you might just change lines and go in another line, right? But you don't stop going to Walmart just because one person was rude to you. And we don't stop going to the house of the Lord just because maybe the usher wasn't nice, or maybe the pastor got in the flesh, or whatever it is. Don't let the devil isolate you. Don't let the devil separate you, because, you know, like I said, even though you might not see a need for the body, you have something that the body needs, because we're only one part of the body. We're one part. There's many members, and we're only one part of the body. Think of your physical body next time the devil starts trying to isolate you. You know, you said, if I cut this finger off, I'm going to die. If I separate, I'm going to dry up and I'm going to die because I'm not getting all my proper nourishment. Because I don't know it all. Somebody else got something else that I need. Iron sharpened iron. My iron needs to be sharpened. Your iron need to be sharpened. You need to be able to sharpen someone else's iron. He says, verse 20, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye. Okay, let's go to 22. In fact, some parts of the body that seems weakest, some parts of the body that seems weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Think about it. You know, we can't see the heart. It's hidden. It's under our skin. It's covered. It's the most important part of the body. We can't see the brain. You can't live without a brain. You can't live without a heart, but yet you can't see these parts. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony amongst the members, so that all the members care for each other. We're to care for each other. But if I'm isolated, I'm alone, and I'm by myself, I'm not able to care for no one but myself. If one part suffered, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And this is so true, because We are one body, but many members. And when something good happens to someone else, you should feel that. It should feel like someone was giving me a testimony and I was like, oh my God, I feel like it happened to me. You know, I feel like this has happened to me. And I should feel that way because they're part of the body. You know, they were a believer and they were sharing their testimony. And I was like, I was so excited because I felt like that happened to me. You know, when one rejoices, we should all rejoice. Listen, when you put a pair of earrings on, your hands don't get jealous because your ear got a pair of new earrings. No, your whole body celebrates. If you get a new shirt, your whole body celebrates. You try to find some pants to match. You try to make sure your earrings match. I mean, your whole body is rejoicing. And even though it was just the shirt that got received the blessing, received it, the whole body is celebrating around it. There's no need to be, my ears are not envy of any part of my body. And when we're envious of other people's gifts, it's like being envious of your own body. Which part of your, my hands aren't jealous when my shoes get a new pair of shoes. He's using this natural illustration so we can understand. We are the body of Christ. We should be able to celebrate each other because when you win, I win. We're part of the same team. We're part of the same body. It's not going to the same building that makes us part of the same body. It's accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that makes us sisters and brothers in Christ. We're baptized into one body by the same Spirit. So really, we're related by the blood of Jesus. This is why we call each other brothers and sisters. Jesus said, who is my mother, my father, my brother, except he that doeth the will of the Lord? I call you my sister because we have the same Abba Father. We've been baptized into the one body by the same Spirit, okay? So for me, it's like every time I meet a new believer, I'm really excited because it's like a family reunion. It's like meeting another sister or brother for the first time. I'm really excited. That really excites me when I meet another believer. He said, all of you come together are Christ's body. All of you together, all of us collectively are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. We're all part of God's body, right? If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been baptized into the body of Christ by one Spirit. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. These are appointed, he said, first are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, and then those who do miracles, then those who have the gifts of healing, those who can help others, ministry of helps, those who have the gifts of leadership, those who speak in unknown tongues. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown tongues? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gift. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. He said, let me show you a life that is best of all. If you guys got a minute, I'm finna read 12 because I want to see. I want to read 13. If I could speak all the, listen, he said, if I could speak all the language of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, this is love is the greatest. Love is the greatest gift of all, right? Love is the greatest gift because when we get to heaven, we're not going to need to prophesy. When we get to heaven, we're not going to need healing. When we get to heaven, we're not going to need to speak in tongues, right? When we get to heaven, all those things are going to pass away, but the only thing that's going to stand is love, right? Verse 13:1 NLT, if I could speak all the language of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing because God is love. Remember, John said, those who love are known by God. This is why he said in Matthew's, when they said, Lord, we prophesy your name. We cast out devils in your name. And the Lord said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. What is he saying? Because we know God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He knows everything and everybody. So what is he saying? He's saying, you did not love me. Those who love God are known by God. Corinthians tells us. Those who love God are known by God, but those who have not love does not know God. So when he said, you worker of iniquity, he's saying that's, you wasn't operating in love.